Prologue. Russ and Frank. In a summer cottage by a lake, in a room full of tearful and anxious members of Jimmy Hoffa's family, the FBI found a yellow pad. Hoffa kept the pad next to his phone. On the pad, Hoffa had written in pencil, Russ and Frank. Russ and Frank were close friends and staunch allies of Jimmy Hoffa. The giant, iron-muscled Frank was so close and loyal to Jimmy throughout Jimmy's ordeals with the law and with Bobby Kennedy that Frank was thought of as family. On that day by the lake, the family in the room feared deep in their souls that only a very close friend, someone trusted, could have gotten near enough to harm a cautious, vigilant Jimmy Hoffa, a man who was keenly aware of his deadly enemies. And on that day, Russ and Frank, mob enforcer Frank the Irishman Sheeran and his godfather, Russell McGee Buffalino, became leading suspects in the most notorious disappearance in American history. Every book and serious study on the Hoffa disappearance has alleged that Frank the Irishman Sheeran, a staunch Hoffa supporter within the Teamsters, had turned on his friend and mentor. These studies allege that Sheeran was a conspirator and perpetrator, present when Hoffa was killed, and that the killing was sanctioned and planned by Russell McGee Buffalino. Among these studies are meticulously researched books, including The Hoffa Wars by investigative reporter Dan Muldea, The Teamsters by Court TV's founder Stephen Brill, and Hoffa by Professor Arthur Sloan. On September 7, 2001, more than 26 years after the mystery began, a family member who had been at the cottage by the lake sharing that terrifying time with his mother and his sister held a press conference. Hoffa's son, Teamsters President James P. Hoffa, had just had his hopes raised by a new development in his father's disappearance. The FBI revealed that a DNA test done on a strand of hair proved that Jimmy Hoffa had been inside a car long suspected of being used in the crime. Fox News's senior correspondent Eric Shawn asked James if his father could have been lured into that car by several of the other well-known suspects. James shook his head in response to each man on the list, and at the end said, "No, my father didn't know these people." When Shawn asked if Frank Sheeran could have lured his father into the car, James nodded his head and said, "Yes, my father would have gotten into a car with him." In closing his press conference, James expressed to the media his wish that the case would be solved by a deathbed confession. At the time he made this request, Frank Sheeran was the only man among the original suspects who was still living and sufficiently aged to give a deathbed confession. The press conference took place 4 days before the tragic events of September 11, 2001. James P.'s scheduled appearance on Larry King Live for the next week was canceled. A month later, and with the Hoffa story crowded off the front page, Jimmy's only daughter, Judge Barbara Crancer, telephoned Frank Sheeran from her chambers in St. Louis. Judge Crancer, in the manner of her legendary father, got to the point pretty quickly and made a personal appeal to Sheeran to provide her family closure by telling what he knew about her father's disappearance. "Do the right thing," she said to him. Following his attorney's advice, Sheeran revealed nothing and respectfully referred Barbara to his counsel. This wasn't the first time Judge Barbara Crancer had written or called the Irishman with the aim of unlocking the secrets in his soul. On March 6, 1995, Barbara had written Frank, "It is my personal belief that there are many people who called themselves loyal friends who know what happened to James R. Hoffa, who did it, and why. The fact that not one of them has ever told his family, even under a vow of secrecy, is painful to me. I believe you are one of those people." On October 25, 2001, a week after Barbara's telephone call, Frank the Irishman Sheeran, then in his 80s and using a walker to get around, heard a knock on the patio door of his ground floor apartment. It was two young FBI agents. They were friendly, relaxed, and very respectful to this man nearing the end of his life. They were hoping he had softened with age, perhaps even repented. They were looking for that deathbed confession. They said they were too young to remember the case, but